Pickaxe.
Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 € bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Lecker. Und für 1,99 € gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 € oder Mucki Sandwich Eis je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 €. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triforce podcast. Coming at ya from Your Scar Studios, the island of Jersey, and a place in London that we will not identify.
Twickenham.
It's Twickenham, yeah.
I forgot. Welcome back. So, joined by Period of Sips. How you guys doing?
Great.
Had a good week.
Just good. Great week.
Just great. One great of our best.
It's plowing into the early February Snowmageddon.
Yeah.
It's cold as flip out there. It's absolutely freezing.
We had hail here yesterday. It hailed for like 10 minutes, and then the sun came out. It was like kind of nice.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. The weather just blows over the island.
Global warming is the cause, I think. There's lots of uncertainty in the weather systems, you know?
Apparently, we shouldn't call it global warming. We should call it climate change.
Climate change, that's a more effective
descriptor.
Right.
But it's -3 in Twickenham. Yeah, I mean, it's not unusual. You know, I know that in North America at the moment, this week, they're freezing their asses off. It's -28 in Chicago last night.
Mm.
I think it's -31 today.
Yeah, I don't think that's like super uncommon, though. It is a cold part of the world.
It is. Like, the whole of North America is frozen solid. It is bitterly cold. But with the wind chill, it feels like -50.
Whoa.
Like, everything's frozen and shut down. So I think it is uncommon.
On that side of the world, and that seems legit to me. I remember it being cold like that.
It's cold. But if everyone's saying, holy shit, this is cold, it's probably colder than normal.
Maybe.
-27.
Yeah.
Fuck? Like, that's insanely cold.
Yeah.
That is,
the Arctic swell or something is like the weather's just fucked off down from the North Pole and just chilled everything to the bone. But, I mean, how cold must it be in northern Canada right now? That's what I'm thinking. There are people living out there at the Diavik Diamond Mine, which I flew over on the way to LA one time. And I was like, what the fuck is that? And it's a giant hole in the ground where they dig diamonds out of the earth.
Is that something that was on those in-flight kind of screeners or whatever? Like, shows you, like whenever you're on a plane and you fly over these places, it sort of tells you places that you're like, kind of, on that, there's places on that map that you've never heard of,
right.
And you're like, but surely the city of like Ontario is right there or whatever. But it's like telling you it's like the fucking, like the Newfoundland Forest or whatever. And you're like, whoa.
It was just
the
nothing.
City of Ontario.
Yeah.
You fly over Goose Bay. Goose Bay is a good one.
Goose Bay, see? Flew, what the fuck is that?
You fly down the west sort of when you fly to LA from London. For a start, it's only 9 and a bit hours flight because they go basically so far north that they skip a lot of previously they flew straight over the Atlantic, it took forever, but they fly much further north than they used to.
Yeah.
So it's cold as flip. And when you look out, you can see just snow forever and glaciers and all the rest of it. And it's actually a depressing hellscape. And flying in, I was flying over Diavik, and all the roads are just like super straight lines because, you know, there's nothing around it. You just go in a straight line. Why wouldn't you make your road super straight? And it was depressing. Apparently, there's a lot of alcoholism and trouble there because there's nothing to do.
Is that really what it's like? Is that really the thing, or is it? Like, it's beautiful. Some people love this kind, because you say call it like a blasted hellscape, right?
Yeah.
But some people love that
raw. Like, it's flat. It's flat and it's cold.
Unnaturally flat, though?
It's on Earth, so it exists in nature.
Nature put it that way. It's not like because the diamond mines have like deliberately plowed the whole area.
No. I mean, the entire area. Like, you're flying in, there's nothing. There's no feature. There's nothing. It's like you've been dropped on an alien planet and been told, mine the unobtainium for us. Like, that's literally what it looks like. And Yeah, it just looked hellish. Oh, for fuck's sake, hold on.
Is that the house phone?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think you have to have a landline because...
Because he's over like a certain amount of
age. Yeah, I'm old enough to have a house phone.
Yeah. Well, we got one too, but...
They just fucking hung up.
They hung up on you.
You interrupted the Triforce podcast for naught.
What if you have, shocking. Like, what if your cell phone runs out of batteries, right? What if your cordless phone runs out of batteries and there's an emergency and you have to phone, you know, 911 or whatever? You have to have a landline for that, right? Yeah. It's always going to work.
I mean, oddly enough, the only people I call on the landline are my mum.
Yeah.
And I think my dad. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no one else I use the house phone for. Like, if it rings, it's going to be one of two people. Mrs. F, and she knows that I always have my phone on silent. So she calls the house phone to say she's on her way home from work. Or my mum. That's the entirety of the people that use my house phone.
The house phone is like a last resort, though, right?
Yeah.
Nowadays? Yeah, if you hear that ringing, you're like, oh shit, something's going down.
Something
like,
serious.
Why is somebody phoning me on this?
Spam. Yeah.
It's like the red phone for Batman or like the president's line
or something.
It feels very
much like that.
Why is that ringing?
Whoa, oh my God. What is that? Yeah.
Some trouble.
I mean, it's not one of those two people, my mum, my dad, or Mrs. F, then it's definitely going to be spam. And I had a guy yesterday, and they try to butter you up beforehand, you know. Hello, am I speaking to Mr. Forsyth? Yes, fine. I'm not going to correct your pronunciation of my name. That's whatever. Oh, hello, Mr. Forsyth. I hope you're having a good day. I was like, yeah, yeah. I was like, just tell me who you're calling from. Well, it's funny you should say that. I'm calling from the London Research Consumer Index Institute. And I'm like, okay, so this is some fucking survey. Please never call me again. And I hang up. But then they'll call. They've obviously got me on a list. Call this guy every fucking day for a week and break his spirit. That's pretty much what they do.
Hi, Mr. Forsyth. It's me again. I noticed that you hung up on me last time.
We got cut off.
He keeps phoning
sure
back and he just gets creepier and creepier. Ted, you don't want to ever phone. You don't want to ever hang up on me again. I'm watching you. I can see you in your window.
Put down that cup of tea and talk to me. Huh?
I'm in your house.
You didn't eat that banana yet that's on your desk, did you, Mr. Forsyth?
Oh my god.
That would be creepy.
That's why you should always be polite to people. You never know when they're just gonna flip and turn into, you know, those villains you see on the movies.
It's
especially
true.
The ones that are killers. Stone cold killers.
I tend to give them a little pep talk. Like there was this girl that was calling me pretty much every day about a car accident I'd had in the last 3 years. And I said, could you narrow it down? Because I get in a lot of them. So let me know which of the ones in the last 3 years it was so we can carry on. She just sort of sighed. And then I said, look, you're better than this, aren't you? I said, you don't have to do this for a living. I said, just call people up and annoy them. I said, "What? Why don't you find a job that doesn't annoy yourself and other people?" She just hung up.
Oh,
I was like, I'm trying
God.
To give you a pep talk here.
The reality of the situation was too much.
Yeah.
I think they don't have a choice though, right?
No, that's everyone's like, got a choice. You don't have to have a shitty job in a call center. I think the problem is you get that job and you think, well, it pays the bills and you settle down. But the idea, I mean, you know those people that call up and they're actually trying to con you? I'm wondering, like, do they go to work with a heavy heart? You know, do they go in thinking, geez, I've got to go in and rip people off? Or does it eventually just become normal? Like jugging's in prison. Is it just one of those things, you know, you just jug people because that's what everyone else is doing around you?
I see. You just have to let it happen.
Yeah.
Man, I had this moment yesterday. I was making some tea and it was really cold, right? And so my wife was like, oh, can you get me a hot water bottle? And I was like, yeah, okay, sure. Fine, I'll get you one. So I boiled up the kettle and I made some tea and then I poured it on the tea. And then I took the kettle over to the sink to fill up the hot water bottle. But I perched the kettle like sort of precariously in between. Like, you know, you have like the main sink and then you have like that little fucking sink.
Right.
That I don't even know what it's for, but it's like between the sink and like the draining board.
Mm. Yeah, the washing up sink, the additional sink. Yeah,
well,
the double sink.
The sink
yeah.
that never gets used in my house anyway. It's like this little tiny mini sink. So it's like perched there. And then it sort of like almost fell. And I was like, oh shit, like what if that had fallen down and, you know, gone all over me and scalded me and I had to go like to the hospital or something. It was like 9 o'clock at night. And then I thought, how the fuck would I explain that to people? Like if I just couldn't turn up and like stream or do anything for a couple of days because I'd accidentally jugged myself, like, you know, with this kettle of boiling water that I just put in the worst possible space. You know, when you have, you do something like totally careless and then it almost falls on you or something bad almost happens and you're just like, whoa, what, why the fuck did I do that? But you can see how easily people could jug themselves too, right? That moment of madness where you just like, you know, perch it on that sink that nobody uses, the in-between sink.
Yeah.
I worry about boiling water when I'm cooking. Like if I cook the kids some pasta and I'm carrying the pan from the oven, it's the other side of the kitchen to the sink.
Right.
And they're always playing in the fucking kitchen when I'm cooking for some reason. Like they come in there, I start cooking, and the first thing they do is get the nearest chair to the oven and start doing something. And I'm like, why
they
do you always
do this? They
love
playing with the knives, actually.
Man, they're playing with the knives.
My son got like this,
garlic in their eyes.
My son got like a mini skateboard. And my daughter got a scooter for Christmas, a little scooter. So anytime we're in the kitchen, that's when they decide that they're going to skateboard and scooter around the kitchen.
And oh also, you God, love to cook nuts. On that segue as well. You nuts. Love to make sure.
Absolutely, like, yeah.
It just gets you from the oven to the sink.
Yeah,
just
for sure, yeah.
Quicker.
It's futuristic. It makes the house feel more like the Jetsons and also... it's really good for conserving energy too.
Also, because you feel such burned and scalded hands, you always just put butter on them, you know, to keep the, you know, help them heal.
That's right, yeah.
And so you just have the butteriest fingers when you're carrying stuff. I can understand it. You're a dad.
Yeah.
You know, these are necessary things to have.
I just lay in bed all day, and my wife's life is a living hell. Like she's just downstairs slaving away, like just waiting for that moment. Dear, my dressings need changing. Bring the butter up.
Can you bring another hot water bottle? This one spilled everywhere.
Oh God.
I always say like, nobody move. Pan of hot water coming through. And they immediately stop scampering for cover.
Yeah.
And I'm like, don't move means freeze. Like don't move. Oh, like I have to explain when I say freeze, that I mean stop what you're doing and don't move. Because I'm coming through
with
a pan
and they just move around more.
Yeah. I say don't move, and they go like, wah! It's like panic.
Boiling hot water, right, is like this thing where you get a little bit on your hand and it's okay, right? Or you get like, or occasionally, you know, you grab like a little bit, like your cookie pasta.
Yeah, you get
and
a
you drop,
get a fork,
like,
oh,
and
like
you
that,
can like,
yeah.
Oh, I eat, and it's like doesn't burn you, and so that makes you kind of reckless with it, you know.
I'm not reckless with boiling water. I don't want this reputation to be out
there. No, but
there.
Not you. I mean, like, just generally, like, it feels like, oh, it's only water. How can that like cause any serious like burn? But actually,
I mean,
it's more like, yeah, it can do a lot of damage.
I mean,
like, but then again, like,
fat is even worse. Like, that's the right. worst thing to get a burn from. I think is because
it's fat.
Hot
yeah.
fat.
Like, if you get hot oil on yourself, I've got a big gob spat out of some sausages one time onto my hand and that fucking hurt. And I'm thinking, you know, in the movies when they pour boiling oil on the soldiers that are attempting to siege the castle.
Oh god.
And
yeah.
they just go fall to the ground. I'm thinking
they always do the Wilhelm scream.
They really do. But I'm thinking of all the horrible things to come up with, pouring boiling oil on people that are wearing metal armor. I'm thinking, I can't think of anything worse. I'm not sure it ever actually happened because it would
oh,
be
God.
Tricky enough to get that much oil, heat it up, and then they have to be exactly under it. You know what I mean? And it's like, it seems a bit like a movie thing. I don't know if they ever actually did pour boiling oil on people. Also, I think in the most of the movies, the siege consists of marching up with an army saying, Lord Fauntleroy, surrender your castle and come out. And he'll go, never! And they go, right, siege! And they start attacking with ladders and shit. Why bother? Like, the siege generally was, you just build a massive camp around the castle and starve them to death. That's it. What are they going to do? You can, you know, and launch shit at the castle with trebuchet, try and knock a hole
like
in the wall,
dead,
and fuck them up.
Dead cows and stuff.
Yeah,
they
chuck some disease
like,
shit in there.
Yeah,
and you
some
just
pestilence.
Starve them out. Way easier. You don't go anywhere near the boiling oil and the parapets.
No,
death.
Hell no.
You try telling your men to do that. Right, lads, go stand under that gate. They'd be like, no, I got boiling oil up there. Do you know how painful that is? It's kill. I got a tiny bit of boiling oil on my hand one time, sire, and it stung like flip. Forget about
apparently,
it.
Apparently, one of the things they would also pour, more likely apparently, is hot sand. This, like they would pour
really?
On people. Or boiling water, because oil was quite expensive.
Yeah, hard to come
and
by.
And also took longer to... Well, I think like...
I think also if anyone was sort of resisting attack in such ways, you know, you might not want to incur the ire of the attackers. You know, yeah. You don't want to piss them off too bad by covering them in. I mean, boiling oil feels like pretty rough, doesn't it?
Yeah, oh, they definitely have no mercy policy if you boiling oiled them, for sure.
Yeah.
Must have been sucked being in the castle when there was a siege.
Man, like, it must have just sucked living during that period. No,
it sucks for everyone.
Fuck me.
It's bad for everyone.
It's not what it does.
How are we even here right now?
Yeah, I know.
Like, if it'll that's our history, it's incredible, isn't
You'd
it?
You'd never be warm. Disease would be rampant. No food. Even the king is never going to be warm. You know it's not going to be warm.
Your
in
life
castle.
Expectancy was like 20 years tops. Like, it's disgusting. It's like just the worst period of time
Most
ever.
Jobs involved collecting piles of shit into a bigger pile. Like, I bet that's 90% of jobs was just shit shoveling. That's it. Just shovel that shit. Ugh. I didn't train. You know, for years in the making of siege engines and weaponry to be a shit shoveler, but that's where I find myself now. You'd be thinking it would be like
even if you were
the history degree,
even
of
if you
day.
Were the king and stuff. Like, you know, how the fuck did you know that people were just doing what you asked them to do and stuff? Yeah. You know, it's not like you had drones to keep an eye on people and stuff. Like, how the fuck did anybody do what you told them to do back then?
Yeah, like, you get your best lord. You give him an army, you're like, march off and take this area. You wouldn't know for days whether it had worked
Absolutely.
out.
And then he could have just taken it over and just said, oh yeah, sorry, we lost. Anyway, I'm just going to go and, you know, fucking farm this one field that I have. And he just goes back to that other castle and just, like, you know, rules
disappears. I'm not listening to you
kingdom.
Anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think you're the king. Oh shit, what now? You know?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how anything worked. It's
and they're
just
all trying
nuts.
To kill you. Everyone's trying to kill you. You got to have a special guy to taste your food.
Yeah, your family especially, right? Yeah. Back then it was like a big thing. Your family was always out to get you. You had to make sure you shored up your dynasty with lots of sons and stuff.
Well,
and,
you say that in the The Arab kingdoms, when the eldest son inherited the throne, he'd immediately kill all his brothers because he was like, if anyone's going to kill me, it's going to be those fuckers. So I'll kill them all. So, you know, you waited because obviously the king has a bunch of sons. Some of them might die, so they don't kill each other yet. But the moment one of them's king, he's going to kill all the rest of them as fast as possible. You would, wouldn't you? Because why take a chance?
I guess. I don't know, man. I'm just glad that I'm alive in this day and age and not any of the other ones. Because, man, like, oh, God, especially the medieval times.
Yeah.
And possibly before that as well. But even imagine like being alive in like the 1400s, the 1500s, 1600s, the 1700s, even the 1800s were kind of shit too. Like, it's not, it's really just like, probably recently where things like became okay and somewhat bearable, but like, man, life was like much harder, wasn't it? Like,
yeah,
a long time
ago. The rules were so fucking strict. You couldn't be anything other than perfectly normal. Like, if you were even slightly different, they're probably gonna burn you at the stake.
Yeah, yeah. And like, you used to get the death penalty for like nothing. Like, if you stole a piece of bread or something,
kill him.
You
kill
get
him.
Like life imprisonment or the death penalty.
I know, you know, you say the wrong thing about the king, they kill you.
Yeah.
Someone thinks you're a fucking witch, they kill you.
You spoke
know?
Out about
wrong
religion,
they kill you.
Well, I think these are the accounts we heard, though. I mean, we don't really, you know, it doesn't make a big splash when just nothing happens, does it? You know, the news is the news. You know, there's billions of people in the world, and we hear about, you know, one guy getting murdered or whatever. You know, it's like, you know, but actually 99% of people are fine and good and don't end up getting killed for hanged for stealing a loaf of bread or whatever. You know, I feel like,
well,
feel
you're
like
saying
we get,
actually the Dark Ages were missold and they actually weren't that bad.
just riddled with fake news. I guess
they
probably
you
were
up.
Though. To
Hello,
be fair.
Mr. Forsyth. I believe you've been missold the Dark Ages, and I would like
have you purchased the Dark Ages in the last 5 to 10 years? Because you may be entitled to Dark Age compensation, which is that we burn someone you don't like at the stake.
I tell you what, if you're in fucking Chicago and it's -27 at the moment, you're thinking burn it sounds pretty good right now.
Yeah,
Yeah, that hot oil would benefit me greatly.
Will someone please just pour some hot sand on me for crying out loud?
I'm so cold.
So apparently, like, there were shit tons of, like, events through history where people, like before gunpowder, where I guess people liked throwing fire and stuff. You know, like, classically, we always remember, like, fire arrows and shit like this. Or like, trebucheting, like, a big fiery fucking load of tar or some shit.
Yeah, they cut a rock in pitch and tar and set it on fire and chuck it in there hoping to start a blaze. That lands on top of the barn. That barn's going up. That's going up in flames. I bet fire would have been a fucking nightmare, you know?
At the 1215 siege of Rochester Castle, King John ordered that 40 pigs be killed and their fat to be used to set fire to the mines beneath the keep, which caused it to collapse, a cheap and effective technique.
You know, who's going to fucking carry out that executive order? Oh, King Ron said he put in an order to kill 40 pigs. Oh, okay. Yeah, are you going to do it? Maybe after lunch, I don't know.
You think they're all lazy peasants was the problem?
Work, work. I mean, what else are soldiers doing, right? You know, like, I read, like, when I was, when we were in old New Zealand, that the New Zealand army had been involved building these roads for to get to Hobbiton out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Right.
So they could build all this film set, you know, and it's kind of... Is it really interesting? It's called like Buckland Road or whatever, you know, named after some sort of the Shire. It's really interesting how, like, so I've been thinking a bit about New Zealand because I've been playing the new Civ 6 expansion, which has the Maori in it.
Right.
And it's quite fun anyway. I was thinking all about my holiday last year because this time last year I was in New Zealand and going around having a fucking great time in summer. You know, it wasn't cold at all. You know, if you want to avoid the cold in Chicago, just flip to the Southern Hemisphere. It's probably fucking boiling down there. It's midsummer. It's probably lovely.
Not everyone lives a fucking playboy lifestyle like you, Lewis.
And yeah, maybe just get Tarquin to fly you over in the private jet for a change.
Tarquin, warm up the jet. It's a bit frosty this morning. I think I'm going to fuck off to the Southern Hemisphere. You're not free to join me.
Much like everyone who's probably stuck at home working hard, like doing fucking ringing you up, asking if you've been missold the fucking Dark Ages.
Yeah.
I'm still here grinding away at the fucking Triforce. I'd love to go
You're
away
grinding
anyway.
Away. I never describe our jobs as grinding away.
Most fucking army guys, they're gagging for something to do. They're like, oh God, I just sat around all day. Will you please send me to fucking dig a mine under this keep or something? Because kills 40 pigs. That sounds like the fucking best day ever if you're in the army.
Yeah.
It's like if you've got a choice between polishing your boots again, marching around again, sitting around on your ass doing fuck all, or go and kill 40 pigs, get the fat off of them, fucking shove it under the keep and set fire to it. That sounds
they
like
they never
awesome.
Sit on their ass and do fuck all though.
What, soldiers? They sit on their ass all the time.
During like war, they do that, and that's just like a nice little thing. Like, you know, they do a little tour. They're like, all right, boys, you can sit down for a bit. You know, you've seen some shit. During training, nobody's sitting around.
I bet there's a lot of sitting around.
Constantly running up hills and eating spaghetti and barfing up the spaghetti on a hill and stuff. Like, oh my God.
What did I hear about the army? It was something like where we do more than normal people do in a day before 9 a.m. and then nothing afterwards at all.
Yeah, they do. They splurge out real early. They wake up at like 5 a.m, do all their work, and then at 9 o'clock they're all done.
I want to know if you get really tired, can you just ask for a quick nap? I wonder how that would go down.
No, I mean,
because I wouldn't
work, like,
be able to do it otherwise.
It's a job, right? So like, it's the same as, you know, working at the staple factory. You don't ask old man Benson, you know, midway through the shift, can I go have a nap? I'm feeling a little bit tired.
Is that like, why they let me go?
Probably, yeah. You're not going to just like walk up to the colonel and be like, yo,
sir,
really sleepy.
Hello, sir. I'm really tired. Can I have a quick nap?
He's going to say, drop and give me 50, and then he's going to get the boys to wrap up soap bars in their towels.
I feel like old man Benson, who's running your fucking army, is probably 10 years younger than you at this current point. You know?
Probably, yeah.
He's like, old man Benson is 29.
Oh, man. Oddly enough, I do still think of myself as kind of young, even though I'm obviously not. I'm fucking middle-aged.
But it's the same for all of us, but people in war, it's a young... It's young man's game, guys.
That's it. Yeah, they're like really young bucks in war, aren't
I wouldn't
they?
Be on the front
that's,
line.
That's the great tragedy of the whole thing, right? It's old men sending young men to die. when it should be the other way around.
We should get the youngins in to fight.
Get some fresh new ideas for policies and reforms and send all the fucking geriatrics out to war. Just get them on their Zimmer frames. They're just going to fucking die in a couple of years anyway. They might as well just fucking toil around in a trench and
they've had their kids.
Be miserable. Yeah, exactly. They've had their life.
Get a guy in like a General Grievous style wheelchair with fucking, you know.
The new face of warfare. It's like a 94-year-old guy with no teeth. Oh, fuck me.
I reckon some of these old fucking guys could probably fight way better than young soy boys.
There's a book called Old Man's War by John Scalzi, I'm not sure how you say it. And it's basically, this is the plot of that book, is that the elderly sign up for the military, but they're given a young body. So they sort of clone them and insert them into this completely unbelievably genetically engineered perfect body that's got like built-in camouflage and amazing vision and all the rest of it.
Right. So it's like Crisis sort of, but like with old man brains.
But the first thing that they all do is immediately start all having sex with each other because they're like, you know, young gods now.
And it's not their body either, right? Yeah. So they're like, oh, whatever.
So they're just like all fucking each other like crazy.
Nice.
I thought that was kind of funny. But it's a good book. It's a good book. Well worth a read.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing that, isn't it? I'm sure that would actually happen in real life too. If you gave people all new, fresh, young bodies, that's probably the first thing they would do.
That's what I'd do if I was 18. I just start fucking everything that moves.
Yeah.
18 and single, obviously.
I feel like you have like a lifetime of experience handling hot, like, you know, sourced sort of water. Yeah. You know, I reckon you could take that to the next level. You know, fill that with like napalm, and you know, be sent out.
Nobody move. Yeah. Napalm coming through. Stop moving.
Everybody starts moving around.
You're on your Segway.
Yeah.
Like, holding two saucepans.
I went to visit my friend in Rome. He lives there. He's from Canada originally. And we went to this park one day, and you could rent Segways, and you could rent a golf cart as well. So we're like, fuck it, we're going to rent everything. So we rented some Segways, and it was amazing. We were just like tearing around this park. There's like all these people like with their kids, and they're all holding hands and having a nice time. And then there's these two fucking goons just tearing around on these Segways, doing jumps over these like little, the little hedges and stuff. And then we got kind of sick of that, so we hired the golf cart. And then we were just tearing around. It's like this really nice sort of like Roman garden with all these families. And then this golf cart just tearing around, going around corners on two wheels and stuff. It was awesome.
What the fuck?
I would do it again in a heartbeat. It was so much fun.
I did something I haven't done in a while last night. I went out.
Whoa.
I left the house. I actually went out.
Oh, my God.
What prompted this?
Well,
were you invited? Or had you had enough?
No. I was invited. It was a thing. My friends...
I can't watch this film again!
Oh, man.
It's like... Ah, you'd had enough and you marched out.
I had a moment
like
that
the
other day. I had a bit of a meltdown on Twitch the other day because people were talking about my YouTube channel and saying, you know, how come I haven't posted anything on YouTube for like a year?
It's like a meme now, though.
So I was like, oh, I don't know, you know, just like, it was just, I enjoyed doing Twitch more and it's more fun or whatever. And then people, you know, like how Twitch chat does, you know, like when you sort of like open a dialogue with them or you ask them something and then everybody's opinion comes spewing out. And so everybody's got these ideas about, you know, what I should do to get back onto YouTube, even though like I'm not sure I really want to, sort of thing. And then somebody goes, you should start doing vlogs. And then it triggered me so hard, I just fucking lost it. I was like, I fucking vlog every day. I'm sitting here in front of a fucking camera on Twitch for like 8 hours a day, every single day. Like, I never leave my house. I don't go out. I don't do shit. Like, what the fuck do I even have to say at this point? Like, nothing. I have no new material. Nothing. I completely fucking lost it. Like, this went on for like 20 minutes as well. I just like this massive rant about
it. The thing is, there is content going out on your YouTube channel. Well, with Sips Live, right? So Sips Live
it's just the regurgitated live stuff. Yeah.
There's stuff that's being clipped and cut up from live. And, you know, if people want to watch stuff, you know, there you go. It's like there's loads of content, but it's just not on the same channel. That's why. And people don't know that there is that YouTube channel. That's the thing. Like, a lot of the time people say, why is this thing happening? And you're like, well, it is. It's just here. And they're like,
No, it's just weird though. Cause like, you know, when you stream every day, like what the hell would you say in a vlog? Like, I mean, you cover pretty much everything already anyway, right? or like, well, I do, like anything new that happens, you know, which is very, very few things, given that I just leave my house to come into my garage and play video games all day and then go back in my house and go to bed. I mean, that's, you know what I mean?
I totally get it. And I have noticed this as well. Like, you know, when I stream a lot more since December, and I'm worried to like tell the same stories or talk about stuff that's happening because
I tell the same stories all the time. It's like people hanging out with an old grandpa. Like, well, sometimes I'll be like, did I ever tell you guys about the time? And then you just look at chat, they're all like, yes, yeah, we fucking heard this one already. Oh, sorry. God,
my mum does that so much. I try not to do it myself, but she does that all the time. She'll start telling me a story. Do you remember? This reminds me of the time. And I was like, oh, God, here we go. And it'll be the same fucking story. And me and Mrs. F just look at each other. Like, anytime it happens.
Your mum does that.
My mum does it. She'll just start telling a story. Like, she'll start telling a story that we've heard 1,000 times. Like, sometimes that week.
Yeah, yeah.
It just reminds me of the time I went to India. And now, India is a country.
My grandma used to do that. And we used to be the same. We'd be like, oh, fuck, here comes this story again. Like, every time. But then she got dementia. And we're like, oh, fuck, I guess she, like, had dementia coming along, like, all this time sort of thing. Like, it's like...
No, my mum's not got dementia. She's just fucking bonkers. But yeah, it's just funny.
It's weird.
And the worst thing is if she's got a lot of go-to stories that she tells. So she's got like trigger words. And if the trigger word is sounded, the story's coming. And you know which one it's going to be.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm just, if we have a dinner and there's other people, especially people she hasn't met before, rubbing her hands at the chance to tell these stories. So someone will mention something and she's like, well, funny you should say that. And I just look at Mrs.
Somebody,
F, like,
somebody who says a trigger word.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I got really sore cock and balls today. Well, that reminds me of this one time on the farm. And then Flax just in the background, not the story about my small cock and balls.
I was making a hot water bottle in my secondary sink.
Oh, it's so funny.
Fuck's sake. Yeah, I know. My grandma was the exact same. Like, there was always just every time she'd come around for dinner or whatever, like Christmas or something, you just knew. If the conversation started winding down and there was like even one moment of awkward silence, it was like, oh, fuck, here comes a story. Here comes one that we've just heard a million times.
I mean, they're pretty harmless. But
One
time I was at a friend's house for Sunday lunch. This was years ago. And they had a friend staying. I think he was like, he might have been there, an uncle or something like that. But anyway, he was like the same age as my mate's dad, who at the time was probably not much older than I am now, but seemed old. And he started telling this story. And it was obviously a story that he told whenever they got together for dinner. It was some story about him being in the army. And it was like a series of very slight mishaps. Like he had his gun the wrong way around or his hat and he marched a bit silly and everything. And it was a very straightforward, not particularly funny story. But it was obviously his bit. It was like a comedian who had very little material. And you see this comedian come on TV and they start doing a routine you've already heard. But the difference is I didn't find it funny at all.
No.
Everyone else at the table thought it was the funniest fucking thing they'd ever heard. Even though they'd heard it before, they sort of, you know, goaded him into telling this story. And then they were looking at me with these sort of excited faces like, here it comes, you're going to tell this story. It's so funny.
I guess you just weren't as drunk as them.
We were all sober.
If you're drunk, stories like that are awesome. Even if you've heard them a million times, it's like the camaraderie of the whole thing, right? Especially when mixed with alcohol. But
maybe
if you're stone sober and you have to, you know, fucking suffer through another telling of that same story, it sucks.
Well, I'm telling you, no one was drunk. Like it was middle of the day. I was like 19, and my mate was 18, so I don't think we were drinking anyway, really. So he was just like, the worst thing was everyone laughing, tears running down their face and looking at me like expecting me to do the same. And I was like, just trying to smile politely and nod.
Just have that face like,
yeah, going like,
fuck, yeah. Fucking
yeah. It was good one. And it kept going. It was like a 10 minute long routine. And
nice.
He's standing up and he's got all these little pantomimes. He's doing everything. It was awful. It was dreadful. And they obviously, at the end, they were looking at me thinking, he isn't laughing at all. Something must be wrong with him. I want to say, no, The story sucks. Like, it's a bad, not funny story.
Sometimes
get another story.
Yeah, sometimes, do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you're in a bad mood, fair enough, right? And sometimes you're in a good mood, and every story will be good. And sometimes you're in a bad mood, and every story will be bad, right? So, sometimes there is an element of that. But sometimes it's just a bad fucking
and then
story.
Sometimes you're drunk, and every story is awesome.
And sometimes you're like, yeah, this. You don't quite know whether it's you or not, though. Sometimes, like, I'm playing a game, and I'm like, is this a bad fucking game, or am I just in a bad mood? Like, and sometimes it's just a bad game. Like, you can't blame yourself for everything.
You're right.
Holy shit. So you went out to GP Flex?
Yes, I went out. I went to a gig. A band called This Is The Kit. They are from Bristol, I believe.
Okay.
And they're based in Bristol, and they're excellent. They're very, very good. It's kind of folky, but not too folky. Like, one of the interesting things to me about sort of modern folk, if you like.
Did they have like a banjo and a rubber band and stuff?
No, it wasn't that level. I think she did play the banjo at one point,
right?
But not in a look at me, I'm playing the banjo.
Band,
it was just a part of the song.
It wasn't like that.
There was no mouth harp or whatever it's called. There was no, you know, it was straightforward. But it's kind of folk light in that. It's not just the sort of three people on a stage with their fingers in their ear harmonizing and singing about the boy who owned a cow or something. You know, it's like more modern. But they have electric guitars and they play them. And I'm thinking that would have been like this whole crowd of people that probably love folk. If you took them back 40 years, the idea of an electric guitar being there would have been the end of the fucking world. Like the Bob Dylan goes, you know, Dylan Goes Electric. It was like a betrayal. People shouting Judas and stuff like that at the gig because he just had an electric guitar. That's it. Like that was enough. He had an electric guitar. He's dead to them.
It's like Twitch chat.
It was very Twitch chat.
The minute you stream all those years without a webcam and then all of a sudden you turn it on and everybody's like, sell out.
I mean, it's like when I'm not streaming Dota, people ask, has Pyrion quit Dota? I'm like, how dare I? Like, these people aren't just playing one game. I know they're not. They're playing lots of games. But if you stream one game, like Dota, which is what I mostly stream, the moment
you
I play
become
something
known
else,
for that.
Big fucking deal. Has he quit Dota? Has Pyrion quit Dota? Has he left? What's up? Why isn't he playing Dota? It's like, fuck me.
Yeah.
It's like, I felt like Bob Dylan. I understand his pain.
Yeah, you're exactly like Bob Dylan, yeah.
Thank you.
Do you reckon Bob Dylan was just didn't get it and there were people in the audience just trolling him? Or do you reckon they were genuinely
it was a big thing. Like, he's
but
specifically
But is that almost like you said, you know, I'm going to be playing Dota today and then you turn up and you're playing fucking Stardew Valley and everyone's like, this is a Dota? What's going on? And they like come to the gig and they're like expecting, you know, old play the old stuff, play the good stuff.
I like that.
What are you doing?
I like that band audience like interaction sometimes. Remember when Smells Like Teen Spirit was really big?
And then he starts playing the good stuff and it's like PogChamp!
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. So Nirvana got really sick of playing Smells Like Teen Spirit at one point because it was their most popular song. They had to play it. Some people they noticed were just turning up to gigs just to hear that song because it's the only song they knew and stuff like that. So they were super like put out about it. So they would start trolling the audience at shows. So like they'd play like the opening riff of Smells Like Teen Spirit. Everybody would start cheering, going nuts and stuff. And then they would like, you know, cleverly transition into like Rape Me or something like that instead, like a not play Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Oh,
and then
no.
They would just refuse to play it for like the rest of the show, which is like on one hand, it's like kind of shitty, you know, when you hear bands that are like being like that or, you know, like being like kind of like divas about shit or whatever. But at the same time, like,
do you know what?
Pretty fucking funny too.
Yeah, that's fucking funny.
I don't care. The reason is because whenever I go to any gigs, there's always a load of fucking tall people there and they're always in front of you. And it's like, I reckon I've talked about this, I'm sure we talked about this before, but I reckon it's like an evolutionary thing that people who go to gigs who are tall have a good time because they can see everything. So they end up going back to gigs. So I think like on average, the people who are at gigs are taller than like an average mix of, I reckon you don't find many like 5 foot tall people at gigs. I'm sure you do find a few, but whenever I go, it's always the tallest people.
You can see everything when you're crowd surfing. Maybe you're just doing it wrong.
Oh, fuck. You're right.
You know what? You can, if we go to a gig together, Lewis, I'll put you on my shoulders like you're my date.
Yeah, oh like you're just a little kid. Yeah.
That is the worst.
Can you
as
see
well.
Up there, Lewis? Can you see
but
the
that
man?
That just exacerbates things. Do you know what I mean? And then if everyone going to a gig has got someone on their shoulders, then it's just like, you know, in the future, in like 5 years' time.
Everyone at a gig always does have that one girl who gets her tits out on their shoulders, though.
Oh, yeah.
Every concert, every gig, shit. She's
Do
there,
you think
guaranteed.
The
it's
ultimate
the same
evolution,
woman.
The ultimate evolution of gig-goers will be people who can get their tits out or people that can form a human pyramid. That will be the only way to see a gig. It'll just be chock full of naked women forming human pyramids. I would definitely go to see that.
Yeah, hell yeah.
That's an interesting thing, like, right? We all know someone who is that personality type, right? We all know someone, either from school or from life somewhere, who is the kind of gig-going, get-your-tits-out woman, in the same way that we all know that nerdy guy or that guy who, like, hoards water in his garage or, you know, most likely to kind of, I don't know, just, you know, be not weird, but kind of, like... standing, and I guess it's the same throughout history.
I don't know
history,
anybody
right?
who would willingly get their tits out, and I don't know anyone who hoards water either. So maybe I'm the weirdo.
I'm guilty on both.
I bet
counts.
You back in the medieval castle siege, right? There's this bunch of guys on the fucking wall, and they're heating up the hot oil, the boiling hot oil, and one of their girlfriends comes up, gets on his shoulders to look over the wall, gets her tits out for the invading force, and they all go, oi, oi, and then they get their boiling oil poured on them, and the cows all get killed and flung over the walls.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's got all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And there'll be a guy there, like, fucking cooking. There'll be a cook, right? And there'll be a guy like, oh, I can make all these pigs into a great stew. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, old man Benson there, 29 years old, years in the army, he's making the fucking stew. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, God.
Where is this going? What are we talking about again?
Yeah, no, I'm confused.
I'm lost.
Confused. I'm so-
I don't know where we are. I feel like the girl who gets her tits out at a concert and the guy who hoards water should combine into like one, almost like, you know, like Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins, you know, like he's the one man band. He's got like the big drum and he's got like the horns attached to his feet and the cymbals attached to his
dick.
Shoulders or whatever. And he can play the music all by himself sort of thing. So you could get like the tit bearing concert goer, but then she could be like up there showing her tits to Axl Rose or whoever, whatever concert she's at, but then thinking about like her weird water collection at home at the same time sort of thing. You
right.
combine all this into one. It's more efficient, I think. It's more efficient.
I get the impression that she is married to Mr. Boring stay at home cooking guy and they argue. You know?
Right. Yeah. And this is her outlet. She goes to gigs and she goes up on some dude's shoulders and then just like
with the neighbor.
Gets
oh,
her tits
God,
out, yeah.
It's the worst thought. The thought of your wife getting on another man's shoulders and getting her tits out.
Yeah, that's really disconcerting because like a lot of marriages are, you know, they rely on trust, right? You're like, if your wife goes out, you're hoping that she's gone somewhere really boring with somebody really boring, you know, like one of her girlfriends, and they've gone to like the opera or something. Imagine she got home and she was all sweaty, and you're like, where the fuck have you been? She's like, me and my boring friend went to just the boring opera.
I can see that rumple at the bottom of your thing. It looks like you've been getting your tits out.
You get on Instagram and you see pictures of your wife on some dude's shoulders at a concert with her tits out. Like that. Man, that would ruin the whole marriage right there.
Yeah.
It would be done.
I live in fear of Mrs. F having fun when I'm not around. I want her to...
Yeah, me too.
When I'm not there, I want her to have the most boring life possible, which is incredibly
right.
selfish, but it's part of the fear, I guess.
You ensure that those shackles are tight every time you leave the house.
Very tight. I tell you what, I just thought of a great spectator sport. All right, I think this would be entertaining. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
This might only appeal to a very small number of people.
Let's pitch it to Channel 4.
So I don't know why this popped into my head. This is possible Channel 4 material. Okay, so you get a bunch of guys lined up on a stage. They have to get a boner, right? Which is phase one. So the guys who can get a boner on stage in front of a bunch of people, they can't touch anything, just have to get a boner. And then you start showing them.
Do they have like pants on though?
No. Everyone can see the boner. Or
oh,
if
okay,
you,
right.
If it's going to be on TV.
So you put 10 guys on the stage.
Yeah, they all have to get a boner, right? So or they can put their dick in a box and the box has a boner detecting thing in there. Okay.
Right.
So the box can detect. And it's like lights up.
They have to be flaccid to start with.
Yeah,
and they have to recall a boner from their own memory.
They get a boner.
That's a lot
right?
of pressure. I don't
That's
know if I'd be
pressure.
Able
That's
to get
a
boner
That's
in
a
that
lot of
situation.
That's a lot of pressure. But all I'm saying is the guys that could do it be like, wow, you know, good. Well played. The other lads have to leave the stage. It's just there for these guys. And then you show them progressively worse and worse things that are going to kill their boner. Picture of their grandmother, stuff like that. And it's the last man standing, technically. who wins. I think that would be pretty exciting.
That would definitely do well on Channel 4.
Also, that would really reveal, like, can you imagine if someone put, like, a picture of their grandmother in it, just in four, increased the guy's bones?
This is the life cycle of British television, okay? So Channel 4 would have that, and it would be a sensational hit, right, on Channel 4?
I think it would be Channel 5, actually, would have that.
No, it would start on Channel 4, because it's weird enough to start life on Channel 4.
That's true,
and it would be a sensation, and everybody would love it, all right? And then, after about 10 years of the show being on, everybody'd be really sick of it because it's like, okay, this format sucks now. We're sick of this boner show. We don't want to watch it anymore.
So the early winners would be household names.
So then Channel 4 would announce, we're canceling the boner game show. We're going to cancel it, okay? It's never coming back. And then, like, the five people who are still watching are like, oh, shit, my favorite boner game show is being canceled.
Bonerino.
But have no fear. It's 10 years old, and the horse has been beaten to death. Here comes ITV to pick it up and and buy the rights for it and put it on. So ITV, 10 years later, have decided that the Boner Game Show is the way to go. It's their prime Saturday night slot. And they'll run that for about 5 years or whatever and make it even worse than it was to begin with over time.
Because Celebrity they'll get, like, Bonerino.
They'll get Ant and Dec or like Holly Willoughby to present it or some crap. And they'll fill it with like all this emotional garbage as well. Well, here's Barry. He's about to get a boner. But let's look into what makes him get a boner. And then the sad piano music starts and it's like, Barry was born without the ability to have a boner. He didn't even have a dick when he was born. They had to attach a fake dick and
he was born with his dick on the inside of his body.
So then it doesn't even become about the boner anymore. It's like a fucking weird like society piece or whatever. That runs for 5 years and then finally ITV decide to can it and pick up some other like, you know, fucking tapped out thing that Channel 4 have done. And then Channel 5 picks it up and that's where it finally dies.
Yeah.
The boner show. 2 decades later. That's British television in a nutshell for you, ladies and gentlemen.
I've just thought how we can have a crossover with another dead game show.
Yeah.
Do you remember Touch the Truck?
No.
Oh,
so
shit,
there was
yes.
a show called Touch the Truck where you had to touch a truck and the last person to be left touching the truck won the truck. And people were like passing out and stuff like that and you know, having to go to get something to drink or whatever, I guess. So your boner is touching the truck. It's called Fuck the Truck, all right?
Right.
When your boner stops touching the truck, you lose it. So the last boner touching the truck, that dude wins the truck.
So this one sounds more interesting than just the line of guys getting boners. So this one, in the British television life cycle, this one would appear on BBC One, right? And it would be a sensation.
It
would be a sensation, and everybody would love it, right? And it would run for 2 years, and then they would sell the rights to some American cable station for it. It would disappear completely from British television, and then it would carry on for 30 years in America with, like, you know, that guy Regis doing the hosting, and
well,
it would they would really yuck
truck.
It up hard
yeah,
as
they
well.
Would.
They would really Americanize the shit out of it.
I mean, one problem I have is obviously it could be a con. We don't see the dicks in the boxes, so there would be like behind the scenes. They'd cut to a live webcam inside, like a GoPro inside each box, just for a boner check. You know, if you don't want to see a boner on TV, look away now, because we're going to go to the boner cam on box 4.
They boner cut to, cam.
Yeah, there's a real close up of a big engorged dick.
Man, you should pitch some of this stuff to Channel 4, man. They'll
I mean, this
love
could
it.
Be on Pornhub if they started doing their own TV shows, which I've thought about for a while. Why doesn't porn have TV? Like, why don't they have a live stream where they do fucking game shows like that with fucking and stuff? That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I think, like, imagine a TV show called Get Your Tits Out, right? And it's like, it's like, imagine you find those women who are the same women you get their tits out at concerts,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And you just get them to get their tits out all over the place, right? Like, and like, who is that going to hurt, right? Even like when I was a kid, like, you know, if I saw a pair of tits, I'd be delighted. No one is hurt.
It makes my day.
There's a lot of shows on the internet called Get Your Tits Out already, though. Like,
if you Google it, get your tits out, I guarantee you'll see a pair of titties right away. That's the beauty of the internet. But what I'm saying is I want entertainment. I don't just want to Google tits. I
want
to see...
You want some competitive elements
I
want to
see, like,
there as well.
Tip the truck. So you have to keep your tits on a truck. Last tit standing wins, you know? Something like that.
Something like that, yeah. Like, no holds barred, but... It's not wrestling.
I don't know.
Really.
You don't want to kind of get down the wrong. Like I don't. I want to keep it like. I don't want it to start being ridiculous, though, right?
You're right.
Here's the thing.
We had something with the dicks in boxes and the boner lineup. Now you're getting crazy, all right?
The boner
just calm
cam
down.
And the boner detector as well.
It
that
needs a
genius.
Metric, right, for that boner. Like, it has to be, like, here's the problem, right? Like, imagine some guy's got such a big old swinging dangus, right, that he's just hit flat. He's already triggering the boner detector.
No. It's got
you
a lever at the top of the box, and the boner
what
has to
What about the guys with tiny dicks,
up.
Like me?
No. All right,
just saying.
There's a flag, right? It's a flag.
Is it like an angle? Is it like an angle
thing?
No. You have to be over 90 degrees or what?
When your dick is up, it's pressing against something that lifts a flag, and the flag starts to droop as the boner starts to wither. So, you know, he might suddenly concentrate and the flag starts going back up.
Okay.
And then they bring in the pictures of his grandmother and it starts, the flag's going down, the crowd's going, whoa!
And it's got like a slide whistle.
Yeah.
You can give... You can give the crowd those little like computers in the back of the seat so that they can vote on their favorite boners and stuff too.
Boner 7, very popular right now. Flag goes up a little more.
Yeah.
Boner 4, very unpopular.
You could like show them pictures of various things and see who reacts to them. Like you could show like some furry stuff and like see if you could identify all these guys.
Have you guys ever watched The Voice before? The show The Voice?
Yes.
Okay, so imagine it's called The Voice, but there's no singing in it or music whatsoever, okay? It's just called The Boner instead.
The Boner.
So the four judges are turned around. They can't see, okay? And they're only going off of the crowd reaction to whoever's come out and shown their boner, right? And then
Tom Jones turns his chair around. Oh, that's a great boner you've got there.
Slams the button and turns around. Oh, that's a big boner. Whoa. I'm glad I turned around.
I reckon they could use the same judges.
Yeah, we can up the stakes. The boner guys have to stand close enough that if they turn around, the dick's going to hit them in the face when their chair's spinning around.
I see it's like really close.
Tom Jones is never turning his chair around. I won't do it. He just Tom turn around. His little chair spins around right in the face.
It's got to be completely silent. So when they turn around, you just hear that little, little slap. Oh, fuck's sake, man. Please make that a show.
Yeah,
if
come
you're
on, Pornhub,
TV
get on
executive
it.
And you're listening, we need this.
I need this. I'll fucking present it. I don't give a fuck.
We could these things could be created now. You know, there's no this. We're on the internet. You know, people can watch. You know, this crazy shit. I mean, it's been going on in Japan for a long time, hasn't it? You
know. Yeah, this is probably a show in Japan already. I guarantee you.
Japan. Fucking Japan probably is all over this shit. Like, even while we're talking about it, it's the, you know, the opening night of, you know, the boner is...
I mean, I was watching a Japanese game show the other day where they got Japanese girls who didn't speak English to have to read English words for the phone to auto-detect.
Right.
So the voice recognition, they'd have to say a word like bread or, you know, flag... And then it would show the word that it thought they'd said. And they were all killing themselves laughing. They thought it was absolutely hilarious. Because none of them could do it, apart from this one girl who would put on a very strong American accent and try and say the word. And she was nailing it, to be fair to her. But I was like, damn, like, loads of people are watching this. And they have that thing in Japan where they'll have people watching and they'll cut to, like, a little face cam of that person laughing.
Yeah.
Like a little, it'll be
and
like,
they're always
you?
Like crying,
like
laughing.
Yeah. And they'll be like little, and it'll be like all emojis around it and stuff like that, and cut to someone else. They must have a lot of celebrities in Japan because there's no shortage of them to wheel out onto these shows. And they all do the same thing. They all laugh hysterically. They're all kind of bumbling and incompetent.
It's
at the
same
game
everywhere,
show.
Though.
I guess so. Yeah.
Britain's the same.
Well, like, over here we just got panel shows. We're not making our celebrities
do shit. Yeah,
panel
shows are always filled with, like, you know, celebs and
it's
stuff.
It's the same ten people. The same fucking 10 people on every fucking panel show. There's like a small
circuit.
Well,
the hosts, like the hosts are, but yeah, I guess they have recurring guests and stuff too, right? Some people who have been like funnier than others or whatever.
Yeah, they just get them on.
Yeah.
Like, if you've been on 8 out of 10 cats or whatever the countdown ripoff one is, with Jimmy Carr, all those guys are on all the other panel shows as well. They all just go around and around and around. They don't even do live comedy anymore. They just fucking do this. It's just panel
do
life.
The panel shows,
I mean, you get paid a fortune.
I don't know if they do, you know. I think it's just a steady job, though, right? And also, it kind of is part of the way to get recognized and break into that circuit.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
You almost, if you want to do like, live shows and stuff, you kind of... It's like, oh, I saw that guy, I bought the week. Oh, I went, you know,
yeah,
went
that's
out.
The thing. Jimmy Carr probably doesn't even need to do stand-up anymore because he just gets to be on all the panel shows on Channel 4 now.
Yeah.
Rob Brydon as well, right? He's
yeah.
just on every fucking panel show to you. And that other guy from Peep Show, what's his name?
David Mitchell.
Yeah. He's on all the shows now too, right? Panel shows?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
We should do a fucking panel show. Like a Yogscast panel show. Why don't we fucking
do
one?
A fucking panel show,
we should do
guys.
A fucking
people have
panel
tried
show.
Before. Like, you were on one, remember?
No.
What?
Yeah, you were on a fucking panel show.
Not with you guys.
No, but you were on one.
Oh, it was a game show, more than anything.
Yeah, but it was like a Dota panel show,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it
hosted
was.
By, like, Toby Wan
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, it was.
And it was terrible.
It wasn't very good.
Maybe making a panel show is harder than we think.
Yeah, I think it might be. But I think... But, well, actually, I think what happens is you need to record for, like, 3 or 4 hours and then cut it down
to
half an hour of good
you
stuff,
know,
right?
My favourite part of that show was that Toby had obviously watched some panel shows and written an intro, but his intro was just to insult each guest in turn. And,
right.
and they weren't funny. Some of them were like, wow, that's close to the bone. Like, that's
it's, well, it's
that's
like a
brutal.
Best man at a wedding who's not quite got it. You know, it's a classic trope, isn't it?
It was,
it's like
it
all
was,
you've done is just insult the bride.
Killed the mood. The mood in the room. The boners were dipping. I'm telling you.
You all came out with full boners ready for
wait,
that round.
Detected a dip in boner activity in Sector C4. We're going to have to get the Marines in.
Bring in the army.
Going to get the fluffers in. Going to get those boners back.
Those guys aren't busy anyway. Get them to get these guys some goddamn boners.
Old Matt Benz has been jacking off dudes for like 7 years. He knows exactly how to give a guy a boner.
Get Old Man Benson in here. He'll straighten these guys out. Literally.
How about we get, like, because that's another segment for the show. Like, we could get, like, hot guys and hot girls in and, like, give them, like, questionable boners and stuff. Like,
it's
we could
like the,
see
it,
what
it's
who,
like Euro
see
trash
who reacts.
It makes a comeback in a panel show.
If we have, like, the flag, we could, this is a great idea because you don't have to show the boner, but you could just see, like, does this titillate these
man.
Guys?
I miss
you know,
Euro
what,
trash.
What
that show
yeah, Euro
great.
Trash was fantastic.
Fuck me, it was so funny.
That was ahead of its time.
My favorite
sure.
episode ever was that one where they were using their ass cracks as bicycle racks, like bicycle parks. They parked like the front tire of the bicycle into this guy's ass crack in like the Netherlands or something. Oh, fuck me.
I
so
like the German cleaners, those two weird guys that were always naked and they'd go and clean your house and stuff. They're like real creepy. Hands
oh, yeah.
and friends or whatever. Yeah, we're going to clean your house for you.
How was that
or
woman that they
naked?
Always had on with the massive tits who died of a heart attack? Because
I can't remember.
Lola Ferrari.
Yeah, Lola
that's
Ferrari.
That's right, that's right. Yeah, she
died
was always
of
on
massive
too.
Massive tits. Now, there's a woman who could get her tits out at a gig, I tell you that much.
Hell yeah, I bet you she did too. I bet you she whipped those out all the goddamn time.
I bet you
time.
She was at fucking Jimmy Carr fucking comedy line. She was like yelling, do the old bit, that's funny. And then she gets her tits out or whatever. Fucking Jesus.
That's pretty
anyway.
Much how it goes, yeah.
That's Kappa. There you go. Look, that's enough of a podcast for today. Go and watch some Eurotrash, guys,
yeah.
and come back to us next week.
And get your boners right. practiced.
Get
practicing on the bonus, because this is going to happen.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Peace out. Bye.